Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, James and John, they desire to be seated with Christ in his glory. And our Lord, to test them, he asks whether they are able to drink the cup that he drinks and to be baptized with the baptism with which he is baptized. And John and James, they answer very confidently. They say, "We are able. We can do this." The response from Jesus back to them in a nutshell is that they really ought to be careful what they're asking for. They do not know, in fact, what it is that they are asking. And yet he says, "You will drink the cup that I drink from." Today is the last Sunday of Great Lent. It's the last Sunday already. And on Friday evening of this week, just 5 days from now, we will enter Holy Week. We will begin the celebration of Lazarus Saturday with Vespers on that Friday evening. And when we reach that point, we will then have entered a 10-day long procession to the cross and to the tomb and to the resurrection. And as we get ready, our Lord extends the same invitation to us as he extended to James and John. To all of us who wish to see his glory, to all of us who desire to see Pascha and to be by his side, Jesus first says to you and he says to me, "But are you able and are you willing to drink the cup that I drink from? Are you able to walk through Holy Week with me? Are you willing to be by my side and to carry my cross with me?" I hope our answer is yes. I really do. I hope that Pascha is not just a Sunday on which we show up, having given no thought to Christ on the days of Holy Week. And so to help us prepare, to help us take up and drink from the Lord's very same cup, I wanted to share a list of 10 things that you can do during Holy Week. These are 10 recommendations for how to be baptized with the same baptism with which Christ is baptized. You don't have to take notes, just listen. I'll provide a copy later. Number one, go to as many services as you possibly can. Right? Go to as many services as you possibly can. We offer a large number, usually at least 2 a day over those 10 days. And if you can't go to every service, and who can, except maybe me, if you can't go to every service, set aside time to read prayerfully through those that you cannot attend. The text of most of the Holy Week services we will be providing on our website. You can download them very easily, or you can get a copy from me. It's through worship that we return over and over again and unite ourselves to Christ. Those services of Holy Week, they're not just memory exercises. We're not just remembering something from long ago. Holy Week is a single, unbroken liturgy that over 10 days invites us to participate in the saving love of Jesus Christ, not just to remember something that happened long ago. The love which Jesus shows is real, it is now, and we are invited through worship to receive it. Doesn't it seem unreasonable to you to attend church so much in a single week? Of course it does. It is unreasonable. Christ's love for us, though, is itself extreme and intense. And so we do the best that we can as Orthodox Christians to return that love during Holy Week in a way that is beyond reason. We do what we can to show up as much as we can. So number one, go to as many services as you can. Number two, intensify your fasting. Intensify your fasting. We know that each person is called to fast as they are able, as they are able. Some are able to fast more, some are able to fast less. Most of you have spoken with me about your particular circumstance, what is best for your situation. During Holy Week, each of us should increase the intensity of the fast. Think about what you have been able to do to this point, whether it's a lot or a little, it doesn't matter. Just think about what you've been able to do to this point. Do a little bit more during Holy Week. Just do a little bit more. If you're able right now to fast only a few days a week, increase the number of days that you're able to fast. Are you fasting from meat only? During Holy Week, consider fasting from dairy as well. Consider eating smaller meals each time. For some, it may be possible to eat only two small meals a day rather than three. Holy Week is a time in which we should increase our hunger for Christ. And physical hunger is one way to do so. It's not the only way, but it's one way to do so. Physical hunger reminds us that we need what God offers to us. Fasting helps us to focus on the love of Christ. And fasting, we know, is hard. It's really hard. It's not easy. But just remember the good gift that waits for us, that waits for us at the Paschal Liturgy of the Resurrection. It's the good gift of Christ himself. Number three, a third thing to do during Holy Week, create silence. Disconnect entirely from your cell phone, from your email, from your internet usage, and especially social media. Right? If any of this is needed for work or for school, designate a window of usage of just a few hours to get the stuff done that you need to get done. Don't watch TV. Don't listen to the radio. Cancel all lessons, sports, social activities. It's just 1 week. Just 1 week. The world will certainly still be there after Pascha. It'll be there and it will be waiting and it won't have changed much from its own point of view, at least. When we create silence in this way, we give ourselves the space and the opportunity to be drawn by Christ more deeply into his words and into his actions during Holy Week. We remove some of the man-made barriers that separate us from drinking from his same cup. And if we do not create silence, then the noise of this world will easily overwhelm that still small voice through which the Holy Spirit speaks. To hear the voice of Christ during Holy Week, we have to silence the relentless cascade of screed and distraction we otherwise allow the world to pump full force into our hearts and minds. So attend as many services as you can. Increase your fasting and create silence. Four, don't only create silence, create prayer. Create prayer. Turn on some church music, as simple as that. In particular, I'd encourage you to listen to the hymns of Holy Week. And not just listen to those hymns from Holy Week, but to learn something about each of those that we listen to. On what day do we sing that hymn? What's the service in which we hear it? What is the place and the purpose of this hymn? I can provide suggestions for downloading, for those of you that like to do that. Provide copies of CDs that you can borrow. And it's important to do this, I would say, because these hymns of Passion Week, they create these holy echoes that help to connect our worship, what we do here in church, connect our worship with our everyday life. It is wonderful to come into church on those first few days of Holy Week and sing Behold the Bridegroom. It's great to do that. But how much better it is to also hear and to sing the same hymn while driving, while walking, while cleaning the house. Doing so, we allow the prayer of the church to become the prayer of everyday life, which is what it's all about. Number five, be still. Be still. Set aside time each day to light a candle and sit in front of an icon of Christ. If you can do it 20 or 30 minutes a day, great, but as much as you can, be still. Light that candle, say a short prayer, and simply wait in silence for the Lord to speak a word or to grant a deeper sense of his own presence. Being silent is a way of saying to God, I am here, and I wait on you. Nothing else but you. Visit me in my smallness. More than that, I would say stillness during Holy Week is a good practice for the experience of the end of Holy Week. Stillness is a great practice for Great and Holy Friday and Great and Holy Saturday. The most eloquent word ever spoken is the silence of our dead Savior while hanging on the cross, while lying dead in a tomb. His silence on those days, his silence says everything. The stillness of his death is the great action that redeems and sanctifies the whole world. His silence on the cross shouts down hell. His stillness in the tomb explodes the realm of the dead and bestows life on all. When we practice stillness and silence during Holy Week, we are preparing to unite our silence to the silence of the dead Christ. We're preparing to die with our Savior so that we too might be raised to new life. Number 6, quoting beloved and recently reposed Father Thomas Hopko, number 6, always be with Christ. Always be with Christ. Occupy your mind as often as you can with a short prayer. If you do not already have the habit of praying the Jesus Prayer, Holy Week is a great time to begin. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This very short, ancient prayer, it increases our awareness of the nearness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how close they are. It reminds us that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. It helps us to remember that Christ is always with us. And through continual prayer, we work to do the same. We always work to be with our Lord, who loves us and who strengthens us. Number 7, read a gospel. Pick up your Bible and read a gospel. It'll change your life in any case, but definitely do it during Holy Week. Set aside time each day to read several chapters from either Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Don't do John. We save John until after Pascha. If you happen to do John, it's okay. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, a few chapters each day. And remember that in the Gospels, we do not find words about Christ. Right? The Gospels are not newspaper reports. They're not words about Christ. These are words from Christ. Each verse of Holy Scripture is a word spoken directly to you by the raised and glorified Lord, every time. Each word is a word for now. Each word is a new word you've never heard before. Enjoy the gift. Jesus wants to give it to you. Number 8, during Holy Week and in the days leading up to Holy Week, seek forgiveness and healing. Seek forgiveness and healing. Chances are each of us here has at least a small handful of relationships in need of healing. During Holy Week, work for that healing. During Holy Week, work for that healing. Admit your mistakes. Forgive the mistakes made by others. Offer yourself in love to at least one other person from whom you are estranged. Make a phone call. You can send a letter. You can send an email. You have a blessing to use email during Holy Week if you use it for this purpose, right? To reach out. Schedule a coffee date. Remember how much you love this person. Remember that we are created to live in peace and joy with one another. Remember that Christ's love is enormous compared to the smallness and the pettiness that we so often hold on to. And if you have been deeply harmed by another person, very deeply harmed, seek help. Seek help. Reach out to someone, your spouse, a family member, or a friend. Reach out to your priest. Ask for guidance. Search through prayer and fasting. Search rather through honest communication for a way forward. Right? Let go of what possesses you. As they say, holding on to anger, right, or holding on to hatred, or holding on to resentment, whatever it might be. Holding on to these things is like swallowing poison and hoping that someone else dies. It doesn't work that way. Seek release from what possesses. Enjoy the lightness of a relationship that's been healed and restored. Number 9, call someone who is sick or who is lonely. Call someone who is sick or lonely and visit them if you can. Share yourself with someone who needs you. Our parish family, our neighborhoods, our offices, our schools, our streets, they're filled with people who are dying of loneliness and dying of isolation. Extend yourself and give them the gift of human presence. Don't ever underestimate the power of simple human presence. One of the great themes of Holy Week is abandonment. It's one of the themes that emerges very early on and is very prominent, especially as we move towards the cross, the theme of abandonment. How our Lord was abandoned by just about everyone, including, it seems, by his own father. As we seek to unite ourselves to Christ through prayer and worship during Holy Week, may we not at the same time abandon those who need us. To be united to Christ, we must at the same time strengthen our solidarity with one another. We are part of a mystical body, the mystical body of Christ. We are called to a life of unity and communion with one another. Last, number 10, is think about Bright Week and beyond. Think about Bright Week and beyond. With Pascha, we know, comes the true light that enlightens the whole world, that enlightens every person in it. And we unite ourselves to Christ. And as we do so, the radiance of the resurrection, that radiance changes everything, or it should change everything. The week after Pascha truly is a bright week. The resurrection is to color and to beautify everything around us. It is to be the brilliant source. Nothing should ever be the same again. Let this Holy Week be a launching pad into the rest of life. Having united ourselves to Christ in both death and resurrection, having lived out our baptism through the celebration of Holy Week, we should get ready to proclaim the good news in everything that we do, absolutely everything. May we remember that every Sunday, as we say, every Sunday is a little Pascha. And that each time we gather to celebrate the liturgy, we proclaim Christ's death and we confess his resurrection. And if every Sunday is a little Pascha, every week is a little Holy Week, every single one of them. Each day of the year is a day on which we should give thanks for the holy mysteries that we last received and look forward to being received by Christ once again at the life-giving chalice. Holy Week and Pascha occur once a year, but Holy Week and Pascha are the rule, not the exception. Right? They are the rule and not the exception. Holy Week and Pascha are the models for every week of the year, every single one of them. Jesus Christ touches all of time through the cross, and all of time collapses into the eternal now, the eternal today of God's love. And may we live all of life, all of it, every single little tiny bit of it. May we live all of life in the light of the resurrection. Amen.